Thank you for taking the time to listen to our weekly service. This is a listener-supported ministry, and we ask that you pray and see what God would have you give. Now let's get to our sermon for today.
Well, you may be in trouble this morning. I felt led early in the week, a message that I hadn't used in years and years, and the outline took about, you know, almost half a page. And I thought, you know, this would be great, you know, real short, and so I was studying it, and I said, you know, the thing to do for me is to get the context. So I read the first two chapters of Ephesians, and I got so excited. I only have 10 pages of notes now, right? That's not true. Turn to Ephesians chapter 2. Friends is writing his autobiography, and he's trying to collect all the information he can. And I thought, you know, I've had a lot of experiences. I was saved when I was six, so I've been known the Lord for all those years, and maybe I could write a autobiography. I said, no way. I don't want to do anything to glorify myself. I want to glorify God. And I realize that God has written our biography. And we find it here in Ephesians chapter 2, verses 1 to 10. He has written a biography as on the way it really is. Life as we know it. Common words that we hear, I can't help it. That's just the way I am. What is that way? And also we'll see in here the biography of the way that God intends it to be. And let's look at these two things. This is the way it is with us. And then we'll look at this is the way God intends it to be. Father, I pray that you'll guide now and help us to have our hearts and minds open to hear what you have given to us in divine inspiration of the Word of God as to what we are and what you intend us to be. Thank you, Lord, for your word. In Christ's name, amen. Before I speak, I do welcome the bishops. They joined Faith Baptist Church the same day we did. And she teaches in junior high at Bob Jones Academy. What do you teach?
Eighth grade science.
And he works nights, days. What, an engineer?
No, a trucking company.
You don't drive.
I drive them around the yard.
From the terminal. These are wonderful folks. They're our prayer partners through the church, and we pray for them all the time, and we appreciate their prayers for us. And I didn't realize that they were motorcyclists. And we went to Maggie Valley yesterday, I think you said, yeah. So that's great. They were at our banquet. The banquets, they've been there, and we just praise God for them. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 1 says, "And you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins." This is the way it is. We are dead spiritually. We're dead in our sins. Sin has entered into our lives from the very beginning. And Romans 5:12 says, "And death by sin." Two kinds of death, physical, spiritual. This is the way we were born. We're dead in our sins. In fact, we are depraved. Look at verse 2. Wherein in time past ye walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. Who would that be? What's the answer to that? Who is this prince of the power of the air? Satan. When we walk, we're moving. We're going somewhere. Walking in the scriptures is talking about the direction that we go. And as we are born in sin and death by sin spiritually, our walk is according to the world, it says there, and according to Satan. And he is the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversation in times past. Now, conversation there is talking about our behavior. It's talking about the direction, again, the direction of walking. And we're walking in our lives according to the world, according to Satan's plan. And notice what it further says there in verse 3, among whom also we all had our conversation in times past in the lusts of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind. And here we are, dead in our sins, totally depraved spiritually. It doesn't mean that everybody is a murderer and everybody is a drug addict and all this, but in our hearts there's nothing spiritual that we can understand truth. It tells us that we are controlled by the world, by Satan, and by our own greedy self and desires. The word depraved talks about we live for selfish desires. We live for the wishes of the flesh. If you turn back in your scriptures to 1 Corinthians chapter 2, keep your hand there in Ephesians. We'll be back. That's where we'll spend our time. But notice what it tells us in chapter 2 of 1 Corinthians. Verse 9. Look at verse 9 of chapter 2. But as it is written, eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the hearts of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. But God hath revealed them unto us by his Spirit. For the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. Now notice verse 11. For what man knoweth the things of man, except the spirit of man which is in him? Even so, the things of God knoweth no man but the Spirit of God. Now think about that. How many of you have a pet at home? Okay. Did you say to that, was it a dog? Hey, Fido, we're going to go over to the service over for the estate line. You take care of things at home, will you? I don't know. Did you say that to your pet? Now, your pet has a conscience, but not a self-conscience. That pet will wag its tail and get all excited when they see you and you come back, but they don't know where you've been. You could explain, oh, yeah, this old guy spoke to us this morning and talked about us being dead. And, you know, that dog is not going to understand a thing. Why? He's a dog. He doesn't have self-consciousness. He does not have the Spirit of God. God made man and gave him a special spirit of life. And so spiritually we're dead even though we have physical life. And the dog cannot understand where you've been and why you're gone, why you forget to put his food in the barrel or the little cup, whatever, because he does not have a spirit. And as you look down there in chapter 2, it says in verse 14, but the natural man, the man that we were born with, like, that's us, receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for their foolishness unto him, neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. In other words, God says, as he writes our autobiography, he says, you're dead in your sins, you're depraved, and there's nothing you can do about it. And we walk according to the world, according to the devil, according to the flesh. I again ask you, keep your finger in Ephesians and go over to 1 John chapter 2. 1 John chapter 2. Verse 15. Love not the world. This is written to Christians. Neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world passeth away, and the lust thereof. He that doeth the will of God abideth forever. In other words, we're worldly minded. We live according to the things of this world and of our flesh and of the devil. The lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life. That is what we are as a depraved person, dead spiritually. In James 4, you don't have to turn to this one. James says, I'll get it here a second. I get 1 Peter every time. What happened here? There it is. James 4:4. Ye adulterers and adulteresses, know ye not that the friendship of the world is enmity with God? Whosoever therefore will be a friend of the world is an enemy of God. And this is brought out very forcefully over in Romans chapter 1. What it tells us about our depravity, what we are. Chapter 5 of Romans. It tells us in verse 6, for when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. We, in our biography, we're dead in our sins, we're depraved, and we're helpless. We're without strength, we're hopeless. In verse 8, but God commendeth his love toward us, while we were yet sinners. We're hopeless sinners. Verse 10. For if when ye were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son, much more being reconciled, we'd be saved by his life. Folks, that's our condition. Every one of us born without Christ. We don't understand spiritual truth. Our whole life, although we may have some character and this sort of thing and want to do right, we can't really please God because we're dead, because we're depraved, because we walk according to worldly things. The devil has control. He's the prince of the power of the air. And therefore our flesh takes that which is without and uses that which is within for us to do what we desire, to do our things, to be worldly minded. And to be worldly minded is death. Folks, we're doomed. You go back to our text there in Ephesians, where it tells us that we're by nature under the wrath of God. Folks, the wrath of God is part of our biography, left to ourselves. And over, I've found more passages as I've gone through and that talk about the wickedness and the evilness of that without Christ. And we're by nature, it tells us, the children of wrath, even as others. That's the end of verse 3 of Ephesians 2. In times past ye walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, that's Satan, among whom all we had our conversation or our lifestyle in times past in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. That's the biography of man. God wrote it. Under the pen of inspiration, we have it here. We're doomed. What can we do? All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. In 1 Corinthians, it tells us, I'm sorry, Romans chapter 1. In Romans chapter 1, the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness. And because in verse 21 of Romans 1, it says, when they knew God, they glorified Him not as God, neither were thankful, became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools, and changed the glory of the incorruptible God into an image made like corruptible man and birds and four-footed beasts and creeping things. When man became indifferent to the things of God way back in the early days in the Old Testament times, God gave them over because of their indifference. But notice verse 24, I haven't had you turn to this, but wherefore all God also gave them up to uncleanness through the lusts of their own hearts and dishonored their own bodies between themselves, who changed the truth of God into a lie and worshipped and served the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. Idolatry. Indifference to the things of God. You just kind of let it go. Well, I know there's a God out there and I believe there's a God, but just indifference. Not being thankful, not knowing the truth and learning the truth, they become unclean and they have idolatry. And then it tells us the same thing. It goes from indifference to idolatry. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient. Immorality. Indifference to the things of God leads to idolatry, leads to immorality. And it tells us here that men with men, women with women, desecrating the use of the body. There are passages of scriptures that chapter 3 of Romans that just shows exactly what we are. I mean, as there's none righteous, no, not one. There's none that understandeth. There's none that seeketh after God. They're all gone out of the way, and they together become unprofitable. And there's none that doeth good, no, not one. Their throat is an open sepulcher, and their tongues they have used deceit. The poison of asp is under their lips, whose mouth is full of cursing and bitterness. Their feet are swift to shed blood. Destruction and misery are in their ways, and the way of peace they have not known. And there is no fear of God before their eyes. There's the picture. There's the biography of man. Several times in scriptures, there's two little words in the right context that tells us what God intends us to be. Folks, you got to listen to this. We got to ask God to speak to all of us about this. It tells us all this in Ephesians chapter 2, ending up that by nature we're the children of wrath, even as others. In verse 4 of Ephesians 2, notice those two first words, but God. But God. What about God? He's rich in mercy. In other words, He does not give to that us what we deserve because of our depravity. But God, for His great love wherewith He loved us, even when we were dead in sin, He's quickened us. That means He's made us alive. He's given us spiritual life, folks. Even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace ye are saved. What is grace? Grace is that which we don't deserve and God gives to us. God provided His Son, Jesus Christ, to come down to earth, take on the form of a man, born of a virgin, born to die, shed His blood, that we may experience His love, His grace. And our biography now turns to what God intends it to be. He's rich in mercy. He's great in love. He's not willing that any should perish, but that all should have everlasting life. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man give his life for a friend. Jesus died that you and I may have spiritual life. And if you notice what He has done in verse 5 there, He's given us grace. We don't deserve that. We're dead. We're following after the world, the flesh, the devil. But God has made us sit together in heavenly places with Christ Jesus. That in the ages to come, verse 7 says, He might show the exceeding riches of His grace in His kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. You go over to verse 13. But now, in Christ Jesus, ye who sometimes were far off, you're depraved, the people, how we were born in depravity and sin and dead spiritually, we were far off, are made nigh, near, by the blood of Christ. All through grace. He has given us that. He's given us eternal life. Hey, remember this statement. Let it burn in our hearts. You and I will live somewhere forever. You don't believe that? It's still true. You're going to live, I'm going to live somewhere forever. There's two places. God, in the biography that He intends, is that we will be with Him in heaven, in heavenly places with Christ Jesus, showing us the exceeding riches of His grace, the kindness to us because of what Christ has done. changing us, making us a new creation in Christ Jesus. He's done that because God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth on Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. It's very interesting. God, you go back to chapter 1 here of Ephesians, and it tells us that He's predestinated us to the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to Himself, according to the good pleasure of His will, to the praise of the glory of His grace, wherewith He made us accepted in the Beloved. God's biography of us is, you trust in My Son, Jesus Christ, and His substitutionary death. It tells us here that we'll be accepted in the Beloved. Who's the Beloved? That's God. That's His creation. That's His Son. We're accepted in Him. Otherwise, He can't look at sin. He cannot accept sin. But Jesus Christ died to remove our sin and to give us eternal life. That's what He intends as He looks at the biography of men. You may want to turn back to chapter 5 of Galatians. It's just a couple pages back. Verse 19, as we go to that, the way it is with us when we're born, as we go after the world, the flesh, and the devil. It tells us in verse 17 of Galatians 5, "For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. These are contrary the one to another, so that ye cannot do the things that ye would. But if ye be led by the Spirit, ye are not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are manifest in these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness." There is the sexuality. There is what we're seeing today. There was a report out that young people who have a date, I think it was something like 62% said that they don't have any problems with having sex the first time they date a girl. There it is. This is what we are. Before we get to that, these are the things that can happen to us. And the way that people are thinking today, and you wonder, how can they do this? Well, look at our biography. Verse 20, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variances, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresy. These are all relationships where we're inconsistent, go back and forth, up and down. Then we get mad, and then there's strife, and there's seditions and heresies, and we're seeing this today. Everybody suing everybody else and all this. Verse 21. Envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like, of the which I tell you before, and I have also told you in time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. That's the way it is. Here's how God intended it to be in our biography. Verse 22. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. For God's redeemed us. He's paid for our sins. And they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and lust, both internal and external. Christ has taken care of our sin. What's the conclusion of all this? Back to Ephesians 2. Would you look with me? Verse 8. For by grace are ye saved through faith. And that not of yourselves, it's the gift of God. Not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. The way it is, with our deadness and sin, depraved, walking according to the world, the flesh, the devil, that's a walk that leads us to hell. We are not saved by our works. No man can save himself. It is all of him. Romans 5, we mentioned that we're helpless. We're hopeless. We're sinners. We're enemies of God. But it's only by accepting the grace of God that you and I can have a biography that leads us to God, to heaven, gives us eternal life. Now we can understand. And we go back to where it tells us that we are sinners and helpless once we get saved. We can understand those truths. It's in 1 Corinthians chapter 1 again. It's got that same words, but God. But God. We can understand the things of God because He has changed us, made us His sons, adopted us into His family, gives to us the power of the Holy Spirit. I don't understand this, but the greatest truth is that God dwells within every one of His children. The third person of the Trinity, there's one God, three persons. I don't understand how this all works, but if I don't believe it, I'm doomed. The Holy Spirit dwells in every one of us who know Jesus Christ is our personal Savior. God is there. He never leaves us nor forsakes us. And now our biography is heaven bound, our walk with Him. He that believeth in Him should walk in the Spirit. The Holy Spirit can direct and guide our thoughts. Sometimes there are people that are wonderful people. Watch my hands. Here's where it is. This is our biography as we're born without Christ. Here's the old nature. Now, when we trust Jesus Christ as our Savior, we receive a new nature. Christ is in us. That's the hope of glory. He's in us in the person of the Holy Spirit, dwelling, guiding. And we that know Christ as our Savior, we're convicted by Him. Jesus said, when I leave, the Holy Spirit will come. He'll guide you into all truth. He'll convict you. So now I've got a new nature, and I still have the old. Wouldn't it have been nice if that would have been eradicated? Some people try to teach that, but it's interesting. Those same people that try to teach that your sins are eradicated with some kind of a second blessing, they believe also you can lose your salvation. That's interesting. You can't lose your salvation. It came from God. And He said that He will keep us in the hollow of His hand. Now, here it is. I've got this old nature, and I sin. Well, I may have a conscience that said, you know, that wasn't right, but after all, I'm just human. You hear that before? Yeah, well, okay. would try to get out of it, and lying and cheating and deceitfulness. All right, now here we have this nature. Now the Holy Spirit, who is God, dwelling in each one of us, folks, is not going to allow that nature to get on the throne of your life if He's in your life. Here it is, sin, depraved, doing those things that are wrong. If you are a born-again believer, the Holy Spirit will not take second place in your life. The Holy Spirit will rise and convict you until you repent. Many times this is a way that you can tell whether a person is really saved or not. If there's no conviction of sin, and we just get ourselves in deeper and deeper by making excuses and trying to put it off. But no conviction. God's within us. But if He's not in you, well, just go your own way. Continue to be dead in sins. But remember, Ephesians says, "You hath He made alive, quickened, who are dead." Aren't you glad we have a Savior? God emptied Himself. He came down to earth to die. We think of these little babies. Sweet. Wonderful. It doesn't take long for a mother to know that that little baby has a sinful nature. Left to himself. Well, I believe that until that child gets to the place that he can understand, God said, "Suffer the little children to come unto me." So God's merciful to those little babies, even though they got that sinful nature. It comes out very regularly. Folks, you cannot save yourself. You cannot be a good person because you do not have the Spirit of God. You are worldly minded. You without Christ are, any person without Christ does not have the Spirit of God to dwell and to keep him from sin and to guide him. All of us are sinners. We still have that sinful nature. And I have to fight that sin just as much as anybody. That lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life are all over us. But God. And because we have God, He gives us victory over sin, over self, over Satan. Greater is He that is in you than he, Satan, is in the world. Folks, this message that God gave to me is not by accident. I don't know why, but as I was going through some notes, I said, wow. I don't have to write a biography. God's already done it. And I praise the Lord. Those two little words. But God. But God. And what He has done to give us eternal life. And it's all of Him. I don't know the condition of you folks spiritually. Those of you who know Christ, you've trusted Him, some for many, many years. I hope that this is a blessing to you of what God's done. He's changed our biography from the way it is to be able to follow what He intends it to be. If there's folks here that do not know Christ or not have that assurance, realize it's not because you just turn over a new leaf or try to be better. It's because you allow a personal relationship to the one who died and rose again to give you life. May God help us to trust him. Heads are bowed and eyes are closed. Lord, you gave this message, laid it on my heart, because I needed to be renewed in who you are. I need to recognize how much Satan, how much my own flesh, how much the things of this world could just captivate us. And it's been a good soul-searching time. And I trust, Lord, that the believers here will rejoice and praise God for his grace, for his mercy, for his loving kindness, for allowing us to have fruit of the Spirit. And anyone's here, Lord, that does not know Christ as Savior, or not sure of it, I trust that they will take care of that by trusting in the only name of the Son of God. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Help us to gladly to receive that gift. And those who have received the gift, may they rejoice in the greatest gift of all, Jesus Christ, giving us salvation, dying and rising again, and being our high priest. With your heads bowed and eyes closed, God's spoken to your heart as a Christian, of not really realizing how sometimes we go back to the way it is, the way it was. But you do some soul searching. Which one of these biographies speaks of my life? If you need to make some decisions today, that's all you can do. If you don't know Christ, all you can do is to cast your cares upon him. Cast your care upon him. He cares for you. And he shall give you eternal life, so that you shall not perish. We give you the praise, Christ. Amen. If I can help any of you, I'm glad to be here and spend as much time as necessary.
We pray that we have been a blessing to you. For further assistance, call us at 864-270-1472 anytime. Send email to info@stlmm.org or visit our website at www.stlmm.org. Like any ministry, it costs money to operate. Please consider supporting this ministry as God leads you with your prayers and your financial gifts, by going to www.stlmm.org and clicking on donations.